Wonderful. Legislator Litz is away, you know, sailing through the world. So who wants to lead us in the pledge?
I'll lead us.
Thank you.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, which is the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and liberty and strong.
Okay, so we have a pretty full agenda. We only have two resolutions and one forthcoming, but we do have a few presentations, so I would like to go ahead and get into that. Before we do so, we need to approve the October 1 meeting minutes. So is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Wonderful. Thank you, guys. So we'll start with the presentations. The first presentation is from the Planning Department. Director Doyle and Bert Samuelson, our senior planner, are here. And they're going to give us an update on the draft agriculture and farmland protection plan.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate it. Just a quick introduction in terms of where we are and how we got here. Back in 2023, the legislature put money in our budget to essentially update the county's farmland protection plan. It's an important piece of the comprehensive planning process. We applied for a grant from New York State Ag and Markets and received that grant. They are paying 50% of the cost of this document. We have set up an advisory committee with our partners and done a substantial amount of outreach. Soil and Water Conservation District and Cornell Cooperative Extension have been critical elements of that partnership. And rather than listen to me talk, which I've done enough with in front of this committee, I'm going to turn it over to Bert Samuelson, who's been working on this for about a year now.
Thank you for your time. Run through why we're doing this. New York State funds these plans to ensure that farmland is used for agriculture and to maintain the economic viability of the state's agricultural industry and in supporting its land base. County-wise, from the county's open space plan, it delights that protecting agriculture, family farms, food security, food production capacity, and access to locally grown food is a critical component of sustainability, particularly as energy and transport costs escalate. So it recognizes farms, agriculture is a working landscape that's very much important to this county. From a practical standpoint, a lot has changed since the plan that was last adopted 27 years ago. And in order to formulate any policy, we needed to get more recent data and feedback from the agricultural community. And these plans make farms more competitive for state funding. So the advisory committee, the people that were used to help, edit drafts of the plan, take photographs, help put together focus groups, came from different county departments like planning and economic development. And we had both branches of Cornell Cooperative Extension that are operating here in Ulster County participate, and two gentlemen from the Soil and Water Conservation District. The last plan was updated in 1997, and a lot has changed, like I mentioned earlier. And New York State is, helping reimburse the costs for the work on this plan. And this plan, we had some great consultants based out of Schoharie County, Washington County, and Saratoga County, who really evaluated the current conditions through surveys, through economic analysis, going through the 2022 agricultural census. And from that, we were able to get an understanding of what's going well now, what's not going well now, and things to look out in the future that look good and look bad. So from that, we've developed strategies, recommendations that are covered in four chapters. I'll mention a little later. And to talk about the data collection again, there was a public outreach. There was, I think the public outreach effort was very robust. There was a survey from August 1st to December 1st of last year. And we had 12 stakeholder interviews and six focus groups. And Legislator Litz is a part of one of those focus groups. So. And we're going to have a December 5th public meeting, assuming you're close. the plan is structured in a way where all this, the research is found from the beginning to the end. And then there's a chapter on vision and goals. And there are four chapters, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, where you find the recommendations. And the first one's on ag economic viability, agricultural economic viability. The next is on farmland and land use. The third one is on resiliency and sustainability, so think climate adaptation. Next is on supportive infrastructure. After that is the implementation steps, implementation plan, that's chapter 9. And the remainder of the plan is a lot of data, agricultural resource inventory, a lot of maps. So as a quick aside, this is an ag district map from it's New York State's from 2022. So this one clearly shows all of you different geographical regions. This is a draft map from the plant, and this is agricultural types. So the purple here are like fruit production, which, you know, Marlboro, we understand it to be there. And then you have field crops in the valleys, Walpole Valley, Lower Sulpis, Rana Valley. And Hardenberg has at least 17 tax parcels, big ones that are in agriculture, anything from livestock to sugar maple. It's kind of cocooned up there. These orange polygons, those are parcels that went from something that wasn't agriculture to farming. And that's a very positive sign that there are people willing to do that in this area of the world and spend the money to do that and create farms. This map is called a priority farmland area. And this is a tool that New York State mandates that if we're going to get funding from them to be put together. Anything that's in green or tan or red or orange, those properties qualify for farmland protection implementation grants. Anything in gray, like here in Kingston, they don't qualify. So getting back to those four chapters, those four topics, for something like agricultural economic viability, we deal with different items. Agritourism, we had a lot of input from there, and there's many recommendations on that. Something like marketing and promotion, think of advertising on the Metro North. Farm business development recommendations, talking micro grants, bridge loans, and we talk about increasing market access, and we address processing and distribution. Going over to farmland and land use, there are a number of recommendations on protecting farmland, but we also addressed land access, which is a huge issue we found. And the gentleman, a farmer in the Rondo Valley, said that there really needs to be model lease agreements because it used to be, it didn't have to be that sophisticated, the land transactions, but now they are. And to help, that would go a long way in helping people secure land, giving them that tool. We also talk about improving existing farmland programs, getting people who want to rent or buy farmland and connecting them to people who have farmland. They're out there, but there's some work to be done. New Jersey actually does a good job, and we reached out to their ag department, and they've helped us a lot. Two people out of Princeton, New Jersey.
And can I interject real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, we're getting phone calls as well with landowners that want to lease farmland, and they get hung up on acreage rates with the rental rates, and they think that they're going to make $500 an acre, and then the average, the state average for per acre is about $77. So when I break the news to them, they're disappointed, and I try to educate them. It's like, well, you get an ag assessment, a tax break with the farmers working your land, and I try to discuss risk. You know, it's like the farmer has all the risk. So some years they can make good, you know, a lot of money, and some years they'll make nothing, you know.
Opportunity for improvement. That was identified by Nan.
Yeah. So. And then with farmland protection, there is more interest in purchase of development rights. And that's something that's in the plan. So we are working with the farmer right now with the conservation easement, and we're going to get it appraised and see if the appraisal's high enough to. So that's something we should focus on. There's critical parcels.
PDRs are addressed in the plan.
Yep.
And to work more closely with towns, I had a chance to work with Marbletown recently, and it went well. Going over to resiliency and sustainability, there, The plan suggests, that doesn't mandate, but promote certain practices that will help the county's farmers adapt to climate change. And the thinking is, it's not just environmental, it's to help the farmers adapt to changing market opportunities. And this will help them do that, to build the capacity with soil and water and ag and with CCE to help those farmers do that. And also, finally, with supportive infrastructure, organizational infrastructure. You talk about promoting ties for just organizations like FFA, Future Farmers of America, or even the Kingston YMCA Farm Project, who is a very important institution in getting people food. I didn't realize how extensive they were. People were driving up from Ellenville, driving across from Northern Dutchess County. It's really interesting. Educational programs, of course, with CCE, and a pilot project for farm worker housing. It's something that got bandied about a few years ago with Brupco, but maybe we all have a shot at taking it off the ground. From all of this, there were 9 priority actions deemed the most important. One is to create a website to promote local farms. We're seeing this around New York State. The county revolving loan fund. Explore the feasibility of developing a food hub. Develop new funding mechanisms to finance farmland protection efforts. Implement climate smart agricultural practices. CCE and soil and water already have started doing this. Increase soil carbon sequestration practices. The thinking is, if the farms are going to play a role of decarbonizing anything, this is it. This is the role. And you're promoting good soil health at the same time.
Yeah, we're doing that now with our no-till and cover crop program.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to have about 900 acres of cover crops and probably close to over 200 no-till practices this year.
Great.
More outreach to towns. There's expertise to do that and help towns who are looking to protect farmland throughout the county, and to evaluate the feasibility of developing a suitable site as a pilot for worker housing. Each of these priority actions has its own sheet that basically spells out details about how to make it a reality. So, Chapter 9, the implementation steps. The roadmap. It begins with a coordinating council of existing staff from here, let's say economic development, planning, tourism, of course, soil and water, CCE at a minimum. And then we get together and talk about how to implement this plan. And people are taking note that we don't always talk, but it's gotten better over the years. But they would like to see more cooperation. And I think we work well now. And we do work together.
Can I say one more thing? CCE has really helped spread the word with soil health practices.
Yep.
They've helped us with our soil health field days. They've been very instrumental with helping us with adoption of better best management practices countywide.
Yep. Okay. Both of the organizations here are already implementing things that are in the plan. And that, speaking about CCE and soil and water, to increase their funding, they're the boots on the ground. They have the relationships with the farmers and the technical capacity. So that's it from the plan. To review the plan more frequently than, every 27 years, and, basically, obviously, seek funding, the coordinating council to monitor and evaluate our efforts in conjunction with the legislature. So that brings us to where we're now. Public review has begun. That plan is out there. We're going to have a public meeting in December. December 5th, SUNY New Paltz, Lecture Center 100, from 6 to 8. It's you'll hear the consultant talk about the plan. Because it's a public meeting, people have a chance to give their comment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in conjunction with Ulster County, the Planning Department, SUNY New Paltz, the Department of Geography and Environmental Studies. to get to the technical aspect about what New York State wants. New York State is looking for the Farmland Protection Board to formally submit the plan to the legislature. They can endorse it if they want, but New York State doesn't make them do that. New York State is it good enough to give to the legislature? So that's what they're looking for. And then the submission to the county legislature, there'll be a public hearing. We're looking for February 18th. Seeker, adoption by the legislature, hopefully, if not March, in April. Then it goes over to the Commissioner of Ag and Markets for certification. And that's the end of the presentation. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who appoints the commission or the
coordinating
council? Yeah.
It's not in the plan. It's not in the plan. You have to figure it out.
No, you do have a Farmland Protection Board, and that has a statutory requirement. And most of those folks that are recommended are sitting on the Farmland Protection Board. But there are other additions that would help. Soil and Water sits, CCE sits, mm-hmm. Book on the board, Planning sits on the board. Mm-hmm. But there are others that help. They have a statutory responsibility,
sure.
A little bit different than what we're talking about with respect to the Farmland Board.
Yeah.
I would also say that with respect to preservation of farmland purchase development rights, if you look in the 25 to 30 capital program, there is money in that capital program in there for purchase of development rights. It gets a little tricky when you think about it because purchase of development rights, if we bond that purchase, we have to have a property interest. And so what we've done in the past when we purchase development rights, we take something called a third-party enforcement of the easement.
Gotcha.
In the past, the bond council has agreed that that's enough of a property interest to allow us to bond it.
Okay.
Yeah, work with local land trusts.
Yeah. Great. Okay. I have more thoughts, but I'll keep them to myself.
Well, the site is up on, the plan is up on Participate Ulster, so it's open for public comment, and I would urge everybody, if you can, to attend the public hearing on the 5th of December. Within the legislature decided the use of ARPA funds, there is a quote coordinating position within economic development now that's already there.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Bert.
Welcome.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thanks.
Have a nice evening. Okay. The next presentation. Do we have a preview here? Just chat. I'm just a little. Hi, Christian. Very nice to see you again.
By my chair. Not sure the color. Hi, y'all.
You can go on that
color.
Come on up to the table.
It threw me off.
Sorry.
All
right. So Michael Schreiber from SUNY Ulster is back to talk to us a little bit about the capital projects update. And just a reminder that the committee and legislature approved a number of capital project resolutions over the summer, and we had asked the college if they could prepare an update on their progress.
I'll kind of go through these. I'm not going to go in timeline because it doesn't flow as good. So I'll kind of walk through the capital projects. And I'm not sure how aware you are of how the college operates and manages our capital projects. We kind of have them into two buckets. One half of them, which is the majority of the money that is managed, is we contract through DASNY. The other we manage in-house. So
great.
Kind of taking them from there. The first one to talk about was Resolution 9 of 2024. That was our ADA is what it was under. This project has kind of morphed into a repair of our elevator and our library that has been down. for a while, actually, but the issue with the library, we weren't sure what is causing it, and we could just repair it, but then it's going to keep breaking and throwing money away. So we're supposed to be getting the engineering study back actually this week for that, and then moving forward. Next one was our water loop project, which was resolution 165 of last year. This was actually the money for a feasibility study for $176,000. A number of years back, if you remember, the campus had a major capital project for the water line that came into the campus. But the water actually on campus is separate, and it actually needs to be replaced. So this is to understand where everything, where the water is running, as well as we're looking to kind of pair that with fixing all the utilities and put them in the same ground at the same time and save some money and repair it all at once instead of going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That study we should be getting back within like a few months. The actual repair of it is currently in the capital project. It was in the 24 at 1.8. It's in the 25 to 30 at 8.775 in total. That is what is currently going to be estimated to complete that water project. So there was three projects, work orders that were passed. Resolution 448, 450, and 452 to get work started on the roof and window replacement are of Vanderhill, and then the roof of Burroughs. All these, we just got the work order passed in August, so we're expecting these to get going. It's currently with the state for their approval. They came back with a bunch of questions. We answered them. We're planning on construction being over the summer, so hopefully they'll be done by the first day of class, God willing. But that's what the current plan is actually for all three projects. So those are our big ones handled by DASNY. The big one that we're handling ourselves was a resolution, let's see, it was actually two resolutions, 93 of 24, which added to the resolution of 22, which was a study for our children's center.
Mm-hmm.
The building, I don't know if anyone has been there in a recent, needs some updating, especially in the ramps to get into the building, as well as facade and some other work. So we completed that study. Now we're moving to design, which should hopefully be done next week. We met actually with a final round two of design. Resolution 284 actually added the estimate for what the construction is going to cost, $1.2 million. Right now, the plan for that is to do it over the summer. That project actually, the hardest part of the project is where to relocate the daycare during construction, as well as working with the state on certification. So what our initial plan was, we can't do now because of students who have classes in a certain area where we were going to do it. So now we're on round two. So now we're waiting for the state to come back. So we're hoping to relocate them and get it going. But hopefully the plan for that also is to finish by first day of classes in fall 25. So the other three projects that passed were 280, 282, 286, which are more annual asks. The first one was for facilities equipment for $250,000. Even though you all pass it in December, it then has to go to the state, which is in April. This year, they actually were on time. So we got it in. So right now, for the facilities equipment, we're planning to buy two student service vans, a boom lift, which is really needed on campus because we don't actually have one. So it makes power washing and some of those other ones hard to do, and two electric utility vehicles. The other one, for 282 was IT equipment for $200,000. It's a little bit low for what our, we really have done an analysis of what our IT replacement plan is. We don't have the same security needs as the county, so it's a little bit different than what their replacement plan is. We have updated what our annual replacement plan number is, which you'll see in the 25 capital plan, which I believe is 290, which is kind of a catch up. And then I think routinely moving forward, we're going to be in the 200 to 230 range moving forward on the annual to replace equipment. The last one was 286, which was minor critical maintenance. This one, we haven't identified a project, but it's when a pipe bursts, when something goes down, it ideally would have been the elevator in the library. Two things I think we are going to put to it is while we're waiting for the library elevator to be fixed, which I don't think will be done until, I think you have your time frame until December of 25. Is the current estimate by DASNY. We are already in procurement for an a platform lift from the one set to the other. It's like 8 stairs, which is still expensive. And now we're currently about to go for procurement and bid for an elevator lift to the second floor, which has a roundabout staircase upstairs, which will probably be at least 3 times that. Just under $100,000, but that project is to address anything that comes up that is major issues. So those are currently the 24 update ones. Overall at the college right now too, our fall semester is actually 6.2% over last year. So our fall enrollment is looking very good. Another positive update is actually our out of county charges. We're actually $154,000 above last year. One interesting thing, this is the first year where we have really worked with the state and spearheaded this initiative with the prison population, the PEP. We have served them and educated them in the past, but this is the first year where we really worked with the Department of Education, which isn't really happening, to have it based on home county instead of they're in Shawangunk, so they're counted as Orange County. That actually brought in $100,000. And that's not just adding, because then you would think those were counted as Ulster too. So it's kind of a double whammy. So like overall between the two of them, that's a 38% increase from last year. So right now, fall enrollment's good and it's looking very positive. So we're looking to continue with that. I know I kind of just went stop. So,
any questions? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming.
Thank you
for providing us with this info. Then we have one more presentation from Director Williams of Department of Employment and Training. So Director Williams wasn't able to be with us when we had our special budget meeting. So she's going to give us the presentation, and then I'll ask her the same questions we asked the other department heads. And
So thank you, Chair Sperry and legislators. And again, thank you for giving me this opportunity to present the Office of Employment and Training's budget for 2025, but it's a 2024 budget presentation. I'm sure all of you are really familiar with our office. One of the things that we continue to strive for is to let the residents of Ulster County know what we actually do. I sometimes feel like we're the best kept secret, but that's actually getting a little bit better. And one of the jobs that we have is to ensure that we are upskilling our local workforce. We do this by providing financial assistance to residents in terms of receiving occupational training, paid internships and on-the-job training for eligible adults, dislocated workers, young adults, and youth. And our age range for our young adults are 18 to 24. Youth are anyone between the ages of 14 and 20. We work closely with our training providers, that's SUNY Ulster, Ulster BOCES, commercial driver training, and we're actually very excited to talk about our partnership with the Lyman Institute. We've actually had about 6 adults go through that program to become linemen. During 2023-24 year, we increased the amount of money that we were able to give to residents if they were interested in taking those occupational trainings. And because of that increase, we were able to get folks a little bit closer to meeting the fees for the Lyman Institute. It's about $26,000 to take their training. We are now able to give residents $10,000 toward that with other grants and other loans. 6 people have come through OET to take that program, and 3 of them are currently employed. So we're looking to get the other 3 employed as well. New to the Office of Employment and Training is the Brighter Futures Initiative. This is our young adult program. It works with at-risk youth, and we focus on leadership, employment, and life skills. We took over this program at the beginning of this year, and during the course of the first half of the year, the program sort of stayed as is. We didn't change anything in the program curriculum, but starting in September, we have changed the format of the program, hoping to truly prepare our young people for whatever future they decide to go into, whether that's higher education, the world of work, or into the military. So we're now changing our program to include workshops, team building exercises, and real world challenges to help young people just get their skills to feel comfortable in moving on. What we're finding is a lot of our high school students are not prepared for whatever choice they decide. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we're providing them with a little more help. So the Brighter Futures Initiative is currently operated in Ellenville High School and at Ulster BOCES. And we're hoping to expand that program into 2025 to other locations. So this is the funding and budget for OET. Most of our funds come primarily through federal and New York State funds. The bulk of our funds come through the Department of Labor through the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. And interesting note, the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act is up for renewal this year. So we are all sort of holding our breath to see what it will actually look like for the start of the year 2025.
Right.
OET is required to spend 80% of our annual allocation of federal funds from the Department of Labor, and our funding cycle runs from July 1st to June 30th, which is different from the county's calendar year, so we're always sort of balancing between the two. These funds are used to support paid internships for young adults, as well as occupational training and on-the-job training for adult dislocated workers and young adults. This year, we had an increase in funding from our TANF funds, which is Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, through the New York State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance. For our Summer Youth Employment Program, which is the summer work for eligible 14 to 20-year-olds, and our new Youth Employment Program, YEP, which is the full-year program. And the legislature approved us entering into those contracts. So now we have the ability to provide employment opportunities for these young people year-round. And we're very excited about that. And BFI is funded privately through the Novo Foundation, as well as a $100,000 county share. So how is our budget broken down? We have 4 categories. It's usually general office expenses, including payroll, benefits, and office supplies, youth incentives and supportive services, such as boots, uniforms. In some cases, we can provide equipment like laptops or Chromebooks if that's the work that they're doing. It's also occupational training, OJTs, and paid work experiences, and then the Brighter Futures Initiative. Revenue is divided and separated into federal, state, interest, and private. Federal is WIOA and OTDA TANF. State is mostly SYEP, YEP, and then again, the private funding is through the Novo Foundation. So for the 2025 budget, we did put in a request for a couple of new funding opportunities. One is the extension of our SYEP program for 2 to 3 weeks. The state provides funding for 5 weeks of employment. We know that the summer is 9 weeks. And so when young people have nothing to do, that's when things can happen. So we're interested in seeing if we can give them at least 2 more weeks of employment. Now, fortunately, some of our work sites will hire our young people and pay them through the rest of the summer, but a bulk of our young people just end their employment. So we're hoping to increase our SYEP program by 2 to 3 weeks. And then we are looking to see if we can provide some business services to support building, the building industry, and encourage the owners to develop more sustainable and renewable business practices. So looking at what was started a few years ago as Green Business Champions, I believe is what it was called. It wasn't our department. But we want to take that and see if there's a way that we can provide a training to let employers know you can do these practices. It probably will save you money in the long run. But we find that most of our business owners just aren't aware of what those practices are. So we want to do a training for that and bring in a cohort. And then if we can get at least 5 businesses who will tell their friends, and they'll see that, and we'll increase it over and over again. So these are the 2 things that we have proposed for the 2025 budget. So that is it.
Sorry. That's great.
Oh, yes. One thing I love about our department, and I say this all the time, we are consistent. We are doing really good work, and we are trying our best to meet the needs of the residents. That's both the people and the businesses. So.
Great.
Thanks for the question as far as outreach to organizations like the Ulster County Chamber of Commerce, or I serve on the board of the Roundup Valley Business Association, and I'm wondering if you have approached organizations like that to help line up internships and that sort of thing, apprenticeships.
We absolutely have. We are a member of the chamber, so we attend all of the chamber events when available. And if it's not myself, it's a member of our staff.
Right.
What we have found as difficult is there's a large number of sole proprietors who are part of the chamber, and actually we are unable to meet their employment needs.
Yeah.
But it is an opportunity for them to sort of share within their other networks to get that information out. So we try our best. We've also had some interaction with the New Paltz Chamber. I don't think we've actually been to the Roundout Chamber, so I may reach out to you to get that information and to share that. But we are definitely trying to make sure that the information gets out, and whether it's they're looking for employment or they're looking for services, because not only do we serve the residents, we do serve the businesses as well.
Well, I would love to talk to you about that.
Perfect. So. Yeah. Great.
Go ahead.
You had mentioned, so a lot of information for me to grasp at one time, but you had mentioned that you work out of the program was out of the Ellenville High School and out of Ulster BOCES.
Mm-hmm. Right, the Right Futures Initiative.
Expand it?
Currently, we are not, because okay. We are in a stage of redesign. So this is really more of a re-piloting of the program. So if we do any extensions or moving it out into other schools, it probably would not be until the 2025-26 school year.
Okay, I thought you had said something that you'd hope to maybe go into other locations other than those two.
Not for brighter futures.
Okay.
Well, ultimately we would, but right now we're just retesting this new model to see if it works and see if we need to fine tune anything before we expand it into other high schools. Thank you.
So I'm just going to ask you the questions that we asked all of the department heads, and you have already responded to these questions after the inquiry. So did you make any requests that were not included in the budget, proposed budget or capital program?
No.
Okay.
We did not. These were 2 that we were offered. There was no others.
Gotcha. And then are there any new programs, projects, or initiatives planned for 2025, and are there any being eliminated?
So the only new one would be the business services one that focuses on the sustainable and renewable business practices. There are no others.
Okay. And then do you feel the proposed 2025 budget and if applicable capital program for your department is right sized, including staffing for your needs and workload?
So the budget, yes, we have no input for the capital.
Okay, great. And then, any questions from everybody? Thank you.
No, thank you. And again, I apologize. I was unable to make that first.
No, it's okay. I hope you are doing something fun.
You don't have to disclose.
No, I want to hear. Oh, yeah. You can't leave yet because you're our first resolution. Mm-hmm.
So you could leave, but it's probably better for you if you stay.
Here, do you need this? No, I have to. Okay. So we're going to move into our resolutions for this meeting. So the first resolution on the agenda is resolution number 561, which is approving the execution contract for $35,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, United Way of Ulster County, Inc., and Office of Employment and Training. So the $35,000 contract amendment with United Way is extending the term of agreement through 6/30/25 for the Youth Employment Payroll Services for the Brighter Futures Initiative. Do you have anything you want to say?
So, as may be noted, we had an increase in funding for the YEP program, which started the school year program from September 2024 until June of 2025. So with the addition of that funding, we had to change our contract because the United Way is the employer of record for our young people, and they provide the payroll services. So they are the ones who cut the checks every 2 weeks. So we had to amend that contract.
Any questions from anybody on the committee? Was there a motion for approval?
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Now you may look.
I appreciate your supportive voice.
All right. The next resolution on the agenda is resolution number 562, designating Ulster County's Calendar of Tourism as the official tourism promotion agency of Ulster County for the calendar year 2025 Department of Tourism. So as you may recall, in September, the legislature approved a resolution designated tourism as the official tourism for the county. The original proposal for the resolution was for 5 years, was but it was amended in the Ways and Means Committee to coincide with the state fiscal year. So Director Berger has provided a memo including, it was included in our meeting material tonight, explaining that the designation needs to be for a calendar year in order to secure the I Love New York funding. Director Berger, is anything?
Yeah, it's pretty, it's fairly, it's a long memo, but fairly self-explanatory. It's a funny process. The state has us apply for money before it's actually, before they've actually created and adopted a budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because the tourism promotion agencies in the state, all 54 of them, operate on a calendar year, not on the state's fiscal year. So so they are not good at giving us notice. It's a 30-day window to get your application in. The reason we had asked for the five-year designation is because we don't know when it's going to come. Is it going to come in September, October, November? And without the designation, you can't apply. So we had thought a five-year plan would help actually be a cost savings because it wouldn't have to go through the whole process here, right? Like, the, you know, we wouldn't have to send it to the county attorney's office and all of that. So that was what we had wanted, but I'm willing to fall back just for a year because at this point, with the designation we have, the hold on, they gave me an updated figure today. The 59,011 that would come to the county is at risk without getting this without getting this designation. Like I won't get it, and I also won't be allowed to participate in Hudson Valley Tourism or in the Catskill Association for Tourism Services, because I will not be in compliance and I will not get matching funds.
Gotcha. Okay, any questions? Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
And while we have Lisa here, I was just wondering if you could refresh our memory about the presentation you did during the budget what you said during the budget presentation about the position that you had requested that was not filled.
Yes.
What was that for again?
We had asked for a film specialist. That's what we had asked for.
A film specialist.
And before I leave, I almost forgot you already got your thing. But Sojourn or Truth Day, we're working with S.C. Lewis, Chief Diversity Officer and the county executive on the very first Sojourn or Truth Day, which will occur November 26th, and that is a lapel pin for everyone. So more to come. I'm sure you're going to get a flyer, and we're excited for it.
Thank you.
Do you want a pin?
You should also give a plug for your pleasure list.
For my Which one? Lisa, I'll see you next Thursday.
Yes, I can't wait. Super excited. Can't wait to hear what the panel has to say. It's sponsored by the Arada Valley Business Association, a forum on film and on the potential economic impact and benefits of film to all businesses. So it's going to be good.
So we'll see you there.
Yes, yes. And she's in with a lively panel.
Bye. Bye. So we have one forthcoming resolution, which was proposed by Legislator Hewitt, who's not here this evening, but it's resolution number 507, which is amending the 2024 Ulster County budget to reallocate unused funds for economic development research and strategy. There was no action taken in Public Works, Capital Projects and Transportation Committee on November 4. And the, so I believe that there was a conversation between the executive's office and economic development earlier this week. So this is coming down the pike at some point, but not right now. And Legislator Hewitt's not here to talk more about it. I just wanted to put it on your radar.
I can say that at the Public Works meeting that Legislator Hewitt did attend, and I think his plans are to have those further conversations and perhaps amend this and bring it back. So that's the reason we just took no action.
Yeah, great. Is there any new business? Is there any old business?
Actually, I did have one.
Is this in between new and old?
This is quasi new. And maybe this is something we should discuss offline.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk to you about signing contracts with the Agricultural Society regarding the fair.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that whatever contract that we have needs to have some language in it that would specify that they need to participate in a composting program.
Yes. Yes. I think that the person you probably want to ping is Jericho as well, because I think he's the person that had the most recent conversations with them.
Okay.
And I know that there was a back and forth between them. Do you have an update?
I don't have an update, but I have been participating in those discussions with the Ag Society, so I do think the timing is well placed.
Okay.
It's a good time.
So just reach out to
Are you looking to have like County Fair do like what they do at the Garlic Festival?
Yes, exactly. And whether they use Greenway or some other company, but I think that we need to stipulate that they need to address that situation in renewing that.
Yeah. Okay. Any other business, old, new thoughts, feelings, Coach?
Motion to adjourn.
There's second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.